G'day, wherever you may be around the world, and thank you for joining us once again on truth2u.org. That's truth2u.org. I'm Jono, and joining me is Ross Nichols. For the first time, Ross Nichols of rootsoffaith.net. Rootsoffaith.net is the website, a synagogue without walls. Welcome to the program, my friend.
Hey, thanks, Jono. I feel like I know you. I've heard your voice plenty of times, and I've seen you on the social media. So it's like a connecting with an old friend that I never met, if that can be done.
That's wonderful. And then you're all the way over in Louisiana. You're the first person, I think, I've ever had on the program. Pretty sure you're the first person I've ever had on the program from Louisiana.
I wouldn't doubt that a bit. And one of the things that I like to tell people is don't assume then, just because you're talking to me from Louisiana, that I represent the people of Louisiana in what I say. You'll probably get that in the next several minutes, I promise.
So g'day to everybody listening in Louisiana. A synagogue without walls. Now, this is the title on rootsoffaith.net. A synagogue without walls. What does it mean? How did it come about, Ross? How did this happen?
Excellent question. You know the old saying, can anything good come out of St. Francisville? I like to say that. That's where I'm at. I'm in a small town in Louisiana. There are not many people here who follow Torah faith, but so over the past two decades or so, I've been interested in and following a path that has led me in some unpredictable and unforeseen directions, having started off in fundamental Christianity in my early years, and then just following a path. You know, I came across people like James Tabor and read Restoring Abrahamic Faith before that was a popular book. It was just a 48-page treatise at the time. And I began to really look at and carefully and critically examine the things that I had been taught. And the more that I studied, the more that I saw a great difference between, you know, what I would say the faith that's put forward in the Hebrew Bible and that which is put forward from pulpits across the land. So you can drill in on this in a minute, Jono, but I'll just tell you that I reached a place where I felt more comfortable defining my faith in the Hebrew Bible, and the only thing that I could think of is that if there's ever going to be a place of meeting, I would prefer that to be in a synagogue versus other places where people might meet to talk about holy things, if you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. And so I ended up in this small town in Louisiana. They had an abandoned synagogue no one was using. I ended up with the keys to that building, and more people found us via the internet. So I said, you know, this synagogue really doesn't have walls. It's beyond the walls of this building, hence the name Synagogue Without Walls. So that's kind of how the name, that's 20 years in like 3 minutes. That's not bad, is it, Jono?
That's pretty good. Are you still in that building?
No, we like to refer to it as being in exile right now. We were in the building and no one wanted the building, and we took care of it. It was in bad shape. It was built in 1901 by Jews who used to live here. They have since, the Jewish people by 1922 had moved out of the area. But we kept the building up, and then through grants, government grants to restore this building, they asked us to leave, and we did leave. We are now in a small building in the same town. The building, the synagogue, has been restored. It's called Temple Sinai Synagogue. It's been restored, but we're no longer in the building, and they use it for public functions and so forth. So we're hopeful and prayerful that one day we'll move back into that building, though. It has a special place for us.
Nice. Now, listen, you did just refer to the book by James Tabor, Restoring Abrahamic Faith, and I should just remind the listeners, you can still get two for the price of one. Up until the 22nd of April, there is a special on that book, and I highly recommend this book. It is an excellent book, and I know that you recommend it too, Ross. It really is a very good book, and you can find it there on Genesis2000.org, Genesis2000.org. Until the 22nd of April, you can get two for one. So, Synagogue Without Walls. So, is it right to say that it is a I see here on your website, a social network for members of Roots of Faith. It's a social network. Is that fair?
Yeah, and so one of the things that I'd like to point out to your listeners, Jonah, is that we have rootsoffaith.net, which was something that I felt like was very much needed, because as I know you're aware, and you probably encounter this as well, we meet people from all over who say things like, Jonah, Ross, you know, there's no one else in my town that believes mm-hmm. like me. I don't have anywhere to go. I don't fit in a church. I don't fit in a synagogue. And so we set, you know, everyone loves the social media now. And so we set this up for that purpose. And it sort of took a life of its own. So that's not my official, my official site is rootsoffaith.org. Just so that people, yeah, just so people know, that's where the word from Ross comes out, I would like to say. What you find on rootsoffaith.net is it can be anything. There are people there who are Orthodox persuasion. There are people that are Messianic, B'nai Noah. I mean, it's become a collecting point for all sorts of people who basically seek to follow Yehovah and the principles laid forth in the Hebrew Bible. And as you know, that can be defined very broadly. And I think that's what we did, and we got what we got.
So let me get this straight. So rootsoffaith.net is the social network. Rootsoffaith.org is the main website.
That's right. That's right.
And I'd like to bring the listeners' attention to the Facebook page as well, Synagogue Without Walls. They will find you there as well. Now, I'm just having a look at that on the Facebook page. It says here that Ross is an ordained teacher of United Israel. Now, that's got my interest piqued. What does that mean?
I tell you, James Tabor, because of my association with James, you know, he is actually the president of United Israel World Union. Interestingly enough, Jono, today marks 70 years of this organization. It was founded on April the 17th, 1944, in upstate New York, by a man by the name of David Horowitz. And David Horowitz founded United Israel World Union with a very, very defined purpose. And it was, and I'm paraphrasing, but it was to teach the Torah to the nations, as many people claim to do, and to identify and raise up what, you know, we would popularly refer to as the lost tribes of Israel. His mission was through the teaching and putting forth of Hebraic faith for all the people of the earth, that ultimately this united Israel that would come about would bring about, as the prophets declare in things like Isaiah 2, Micah 4, a world union. And so James took over the presidency of that organization. He had become very close friends and associates with David Horowitz. And he and I, being close friends, I got to know David before he passed in 2002. Mm-hmm. James called me one day, and because of our mutual work together, that organization can ordain biblical ministers, if you will, of Torah faith. And so we did an ordination, and that was on Kislev 24 about 10 years ago. And so that is the banner that I would say that I preach Moses under every Sabbath.
Very wow. So this is a registered, if you like, a registered denomination in the States.
Yeah, it's an official organization, and now it's headquartered in Charlotte, North Carolina. We're having our conference, our annual conference there this coming weekend, which we will we'll also broadcast that live. So
right. Oh, well, now listen, just for the listeners, the website there is unitedisrael.org. If they want to, you're going to broadcast that live, how do they get to watch that?
What we're going to do is we have a website. I know we're throwing a lot of websites at people.
I'll put all the links for the listeners. I'll put all the links on this post.
What I use for my weekly broadcast, and any time that my associates and I webcast any teaching, we bought the site shema.tv, www.shma.tv. And your listeners can go to shema.tv beginning this coming Friday night. I'll actually post on my website and share the link with you the formalized itinerary and the program, so that people can log in and listen to any of these classes free of charge. So
brilliant. So there's something to look forward to. A Synagogue Without Walls, United Israel, and Roots of Faith. My goodness. So there, I will put all of those links down. So I'm looking at the website now, rootsoffaith.org, and I see on the front page, Was Christ Our Passover? Now, this is an article that I saw on Facebook, and it was so good I shared it on the Truth to You Facebook page. Many of the listeners would have seen it there. A little further down, there's a, I have to say I'm jealous, the Jewish Study Bible leather edition. Now, the Jewish Study Bible, you've got a write-up here on the Jewish Study Bible, and this is something that Jason from spiritualbabies.net, we've been using this particular copy of the Tanakh for some time, but now it's in a leather edition, and I feel really sort of, you know, I wish I had one. We've got the hard copy.
That's why I put it up. I wanted people to be jealous of my Bible. I tell you, I was so excited because, as you know, I mean, growing up, I always had this wonderful leather-bound Bible that I carried with me and, you know, stroked the pages and studied. And as I became more oriented towards the Hebrew Bible, I always, you know, I thought, wow, you know, it'd be so nice if I had a leather-bound edition. And lo and behold, they put this out. It's actually, this is the funny part about this, Jono, is that I heard about it. I paid for mine. I bought it on Amazon. It was It was fairly expensive. A friend of mine contacted me and said they're offering it on Christian book distributors. And I said, really? And it's for like $23 American.
Oh, the leather copy.
Oh, yeah, the leather copy. Now, it's bonded leather, but still, you know, it's a Bible that you can preach with, as I like to say. You know, you kind of have to hold a Bible and shake it from time to time when you're preaching. So I'm thrilled to have a leather-bound edition of the Hebrew Bible.
It's a really good – a lot of people have asked me before – is there a copy of the Tanakh with study notes? Is there a study Bible? Because on Truth to You, quite often, I'll use my New King James study Bible, the Nelson's New King James study Bible, and right. Yes, it is leather. But this is people will often ask me, can I get a copy of the Tanakh in English with study notes? And this is it, boys and girls. This is a really good resource. But now it comes in leather, and mine's not leather. But anyway, there is something. There's the details that you can write up on that you can find on rootsoffaith.org. Below that, my friend, this is something I haven't read. Following Jesus Out of Christianity is the title of this article. What can you tell me about it?
I tell you, you know, that is a story of my life. But it's more than the story of my life. It's actually the title of a lecture that I gave in 2009. We had a Sukkot celebration here in my town. People from all over came. And it was, in a way, a method or a way that I could sort of close a chapter in my life because I grew up in fundamental Christianity, as I stated. The way I put it, if you notice, even in the title, I indicate following Jesus, ... out of Christianity. So it's meant to be a bit controversial, Jono. And I've received some good things and some really negative things about this, depending on where one falls theologically. But I was trying to be respectful. I want people to know that. It wasn't meant to be confrontational, but it is meant to be controversial because, as many of your listeners are fully aware, there is a vast difference between what I would call a religion about Jesus, that is Christianity, and a religion of Jesus, which is more oriented towards a Hebraic faith. I like to tell people that if Jesus were to walk around today, he would be, I think, totally shocked at what has become a faith that's being put forth in his name. I think it's just a travesty, really.
I would have to agree. And accompanying this article I see a video, and I believe that's an hour and 20 minutes long. This must be a lot of detail in here. This is your story, is it?
It is, and I break away from it being so personal, and I sort of go through various topics that are intended to show people, I guess what I would call the journey that I took, but I do that through the text of the Christian writings. In other words, I address some big topics, I think, you know, everything from... The way I like to put it is, I put my faith in the God of Jesus. When I say that, I obviously am saying that I don't ascribe to the belief that Jesus of Nazareth was, in fact, the God of Israel. And I make that plain not only from the Hebrew Scriptures, but from the words that are attributed to Jesus himself. And then the next part of that class is I put my faith in the Bible that Jesus read. You know, in other words, the Hebrew scriptures as opposed to the New Testament writings, which claim to be representative of everything that he did and taught. So it, in a way, like I said, it sort of puts a perspective that I like to teach from, where I'm saying I'm not being critical in trying to stir up controversy, but I am trying to say that there is a major difference between the two, if that makes mm-hmm. sense.
Absolutely. Let me ask you, there is a lot of, I'm just having a look at the top of the page of Roots of Faith. There seems to be a lot more resources available to people if they go to this website. Can you just highlight some of them for us?
Absolutely. One of the things, if people go to rootsoffaith.org, I believe community is very important because we have a lot of people who are disenfranchised, people who aren't really comfortable in Christianity anymore, but yet they're not Jewish for various reasons. Well, we set this up. We set up, as you mentioned earlier in our conversation, rootsoffaith.net. One of the links takes you to that social site where a person can go and set their own page up. They can post pictures of their pets, their family. They can talk about various biblical topics. I have a dialogue list where people can really get into the fray as long as they're respectful and discuss some of these deep spiritual matters. And then there are all the links to our social media. And I think most important for people to hear is that all of our services are webcast live in Central Time. At 10:30 a.m. on Saturday mornings. So a person can log in from wherever they are in the world. That time zone will vary. We'll have to get people to look it up themselves. But our time, 10:30 a.m. Central Standard Time, every Saturday morning. And what I do is I teach a class from the weekly Torah portion. Then we read the Torah and the Prophets. And then we have a roundtable discussion where people can actually chat during the entire service and ask questions, and we actually field questions during that end session, that dialogue session. And then one other thing, Jono, I'd like to point out is that we do have some very skilled Hebrew teachers in our congregation, our growing global congregation, I like to call it. If you'll notice, there's a Learn Hebrew tab where people can join what we call the Hebrew Torah Reading Team. And they can actually receive instruction from the very, very beginning stages. Someone has to know absolutely no Hebrew, and we have instructors that can help them until finally they're able to participate on Saturday mornings with a reading of the Parsha in Hebrew.
Wow. Okay. Well, so again, listeners, rootsoffaith.org, an immense amount of resources available for you there. One last thing, if I may, Ross, community is obviously a very big focus of Roots of Faith. It was said recently on the program by Rabbi Tovia Singer, he pointed out, and I thought was rather profound, Christianity is a creed, Judaism is a family.
Right.
How do you view the Roots of Faith community, and how does that statement relate to that?
I think it's a great question, Jono. I would say, and no offense intended to my fellow congregants at Roots of Faith, we would probably be more like a dysfunctional family. and what I mean by that is these are all wonderful people who are in different places theologically. In other words, there are people who join with Roots of Faith who are coming from a background very similar to mine, but they may be in a different place. They may be only now discovering the Hebraic roots of Christianity. They're welcome here. Now, some don't, they end up leaving because they don't agree with my stand on some issues, but they're certainly welcome. And then we have others who are at the other end of that spectrum, more towards the Judaism side. But, you know, the funny thing is that on my classes, on the iTunes page that we have, one quote says, "Beware, this place is not Christian." The next quote down says, "Beware, this is not Jewish." So we're sort of hard to label. You know, it's hard to put us in a box. But what I would say is that we're very biblical. And by biblical, I mean we are rooted and grounded in the Hebrew scriptures alone. And that's where we derive all of our faith, all of our beliefs, all of our doctrine, and our life, basically. It's our life, as Moses would say.
Ross Nichols, inspiring people to live a more authentically biblical lifestyle is what you've got on the front page of rootsoffaith.org. Roots of Faith, an ancient truth for a modern world, my friend. Thank you for coming onto truthtoyou.org for the very first time. I look forward to having you back on soon.
It has been my pleasure, Jono. Thanks so much for setting this up, and I look forward to talking with you again anytime. I'm available. Let me know.
In the meantime, dear listeners, be blessed, be set apart by the truth of our Father's word. Shalom.